Happy Feast Day. It's been a full, how long has it been? 2 years? Longer? Since we've been here for this particular day, St. Luke's Day. It's a time when we come together as a parish family in relationship with one another and with all other disciples in the world to proclaim and to renew our dedication to the gospel. The gospel of Luke in particular, since it is Luke's story that has been chosen to guide this church, this parish, for its over the century history. And so it is on this day that we observe the Feast of St. Luke, and this is the appointed lesson for the day, particularly this gospel lesson. And we hear how Jesus returns to Galilee, but we have to ask, where did he return from? This portion of the gospel comes to us just after Jesus has endured the 40 days in the wilderness, in the desert. That's the story we recall at the beginning of Lent each year. And so Jesus has now come home from that experience. It is important for us to note, too, where this comes in Luke's gospel. It's quite a ways into the gospel already. This is in the fourth chapter, because it's Luke's gospel, those first few chapters that give us those tender and loving stories that we remember about Christmas. The Annunciation, the visit of the shepherds. We remember the birth of John the Baptist. And two wonderful hymns have been produced in Luke's gospel that we sing morning and night throughout the church. The Benedictus in the morning, the Canticle of Zechariah, and in the evening, the Canticle of Mary, the Magnificat. And so those first chapters just seem filled with such joy, such loveliness, such tenderness. In fact, all of those scenes are depicted here in this window. And the last of them is the presentation in the temple, when Simeon utters yet another hymn that we sing every day in the church, and that is the Nunc Dimittis that we sing at Compline, the last time of prayer for the day. This old, old man says, "Now, O Lord, you can dismiss your servant in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of the world, salvation for the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." All of that, all of it, is somehow found, really, in the Old Testament. If we look at the hymn of Mary, we see parallels to the hymn of Hannah as Samuel is born. And we find the same kinds of things happening in the Canticle of Zechariah and in Simeon's Canticle as well. And we hear Jesus coming today back to Galilee, to Nazareth, to his own synagogue. And he is handed the scroll. And he opens it immediately to this passage from the prophet Isaiah. And the interesting thing about it is that last little piece where it says, "I have come to proclaim a year of favor in the Lord." It is that phrase that is used in the Old Testament, in fact, in the Law of Moses, to describe a wonderful day that is to be observed every 50 years. Now, this day is going to sound very strange to our ears because it is the year of Jubilee. And it is on that year that all debts are to be forgiven. All property that has changed hands is restored to their ancestral owners. The world, in this sense, is restored to the way God intended it to be. Quite frankly, I don't know. Scholars tell us they don't even know if Israel ever celebrated the Jubilee year in that way, because we're human beings after all. And once we have something, it's very hard to let it go, especially if we just got it last year. Tough luck if you acquired your property in the 49th year. Next year, you're going to lose it. It's going to be given back. But the reason it was given back, because in those days, they didn't have public cemeteries. They didn't have cemeteries the way we do. You were buried on your family's property. And so it was a way of restoring people's dignity and their status in society. That year of favor in the Lord, that Jubilee year, becomes a model for Jesus. Because this is the very passage that he quotes as he emerges from his long retreat in the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan and suffered deprivation and really had to look inside himself and say, what is it that God wants me to do? And it is no wonder then that the opening verse to this lesson is simply Jesus filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That becomes the very theme of Luke throughout. And in fact, ends up with the story, that great story of Pentecost in the book of Acts that we depict in that window, the tongues of flame window, when the Spirit is given not only to the Son of God in Jesus, but the Spirit is made manifest in all of Christ's disciples. That is a promise, my friends. That is ours. It's not just for those apostles and those early disciples. It is for everyone who claims to follow Jesus, everyone who takes Jesus' name as their own, calls themselves Christian. They are given by God, because of their faith, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those gifts are given not simply because God likes us, but because God has a mission laid out before us, very much like the mission Jesus describes. The Spirit of God is given to the people of the church, for you and for me and for the people that have gone before us and for countless generations yet to follow. That gift of the Spirit is given to us so that God can continue the work of the year of Jubilee. It isn't about the ideas of this world, it's about the kingdom of God. A way of living that is so contrary to the way we think in this world that it has the power to transform hearts and minds away from selfishness and building up our own egos, that we begin to grow into the love of Christ, a love that is so deep and so profound that we see its manifestation on the cross. We're in that lovely hymn that Paul puts together. Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at, something to be held on to, but willingly took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of humans. And further, Paul goes on, he further humbled himself, even unto death, the ultimate gift, the ultimate giving of self. That death was worked out in Jesus not to satisfy an angry God, but to be the ever-present witness, the ever-present testimony of how much God loves us. That God would give up his very own self, his own Son, to prove his love for you and for me. And that is the portal, that is the gate to understand how God works. Not that God keeps an account book somewhere and he needed to be satisfied as some banker might be to have the loan forgiven, but rather as a testament to his ultimate love. What one of us who are parents wouldn't give everything we had to make sure that our children were well, that they were well fed, that they were clothed and housed properly. I think as I look around this room, there is not one person who would not go in that direction. And yet, somehow we fail to understand so deeply that we are God's children, and that God is willing to do that for us. Just like in a family, no one can guarantee that there will never be trouble, that there will never be tribulation, that there won't be stress or anxiety, even that there won't be anger, or that sometimes there won't even be everything we really love. But that's life. And that's our life with God, too. The difference is that love does not abandon the beloved. Love always stands by them, regardless. How many times, perhaps, those of you who are parents just waited it out, waited for that wayward child to find their way, to find their way home? It is in Luke's gospel that we hear the story of the prodigal son, where the father goes out to look for the son and prays for his return day after day after day. And then when finally he does return, gives everything he has to celebrate his joy. That is our life with God. That is the message of Luke's gospel. That the immense love of God begins with this tiny little child in this place called Bethlehem. And this child grows and develops and learns in every way that we do. And then he goes out and he asks that life question that many of us ask ourselves, what is it that I'm here for? And he finds the answer. And once he does, he returns to his own people, to Galilee, to Nazareth, Luke says, where he was reared, and goes to that tiny synagogue there, and he tells them, this is what God has called me to do. And later we hear him simply say, follow me. So today, as we celebrate St. Luke's Day, as a community born into Christ, joined in the Spirit, we need to ask ourselves that question too. What is it that God is calling us to do in this place, in this time? What is God calling us to do other than to love deeply, to love tenderly, to strive for justice, and to walk humbly with God? That's all God asks. For when we do that, we find the meaning of our lives, and we begin to see ourselves like Christ, giving up our own desires, our own wants, our own needs, for the sake of those we love. Christ bid us at the Last Supper, which we will remember in just a few moments, to love one another as he has loved us. So too may it be now, that we would resolve this day to strive to love, and in loving, transform our lives and the world, that we too might proclaim a year of favor from the Lord. Happy St. Luke's Day.